You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 415. I'm Ruben, and Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going good.
And we're here to do our preview for Notre Dame's matchup with Miami of Ohio. Notre Dame is back at home hosting Miami this Saturday. Kickoff will be at 5 p.m., so kind of a different schedule. Do you like 5 p.m. kickoffs, Randall, or would you prefer a 3:30?
I actually like it. 3:30, I like the night games because it doesn't mess up your afternoon. Like 3:30 is a game where they usually end like 7:30. That's almost too late to go do something afterwards or do anything.
It's not that late. I know. 7:30, probably like 6:37.
The game. Well, but whatever. It's kind of in the middle of the day. I like the night games, but then sometimes they go really late. I think this is about perfect because it's like an evening.
You have your full day. If you do want to work, you can get your honey-do list done, and then you can still watch the game.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Okay. We're going to start off by talking about Notre Dame's or Brian Kelly's press conference from Tuesday and some of the player interviews, and then we'll talk about Miami and give our thoughts on how we think the game will go, how Miami will try to attack and stick with Notre Dame, and then eventually we'll give our score predictions as well for this matchup. So starting with Brian Kelly's press conference, well, let's just go through the different position groups and mention anything that he had to say about the different position groups.
I'll just quick throw this in here because it's about Notre Dame, but it's about the basketball team. Today, Notre Dame got a commitment from Nate Lazuski, I believe. 6'10". It's a big guy. It's a big man they needed, but he is now the third top 100 player in this class. And so Notre Dame is making the right moves, and now you see what's happening in the rest of college basketball. Rick Pitino was fired down in Louisville. And some other – I don't know what all is going on with that, but it is involving some good basketball schools. Supposedly Arizona was in there too. But the FBI is looking at it. It's not like actually the NCAA. I guess since the NCAA wasn't doing anything, the FBI is looking into it, which maybe they should do that to Alabama. If the NCAA isn't going to do anything, maybe it's time the FBI steps in and checks that out. Anyways, the basketball team is heading in the right direction. They've been doing good, and they keep getting good players. It's making a difference with the recruiting.
Yeah. I don't follow Notre Dame basketball, but I do watch it, especially when towards the end of the season when the tournaments are getting close to rolling around.
So there's that.
And they're fun to watch. I like our basketball team.
Yeah.
Okay, the press conference. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. Let's start with the offensive line.
Well, the listening to the player interviews even more than the Brian Kelly interview. Well, no, Brian Kelly mentioned the highlight videos for the offensive line. He said something about maybe he shouldn't say this, but they do make a highlight video of the offensive line from the previous game. And he mentioned this when they were talking about Sam Mustipher. And been a week ago against
Boston College.
Boston College, he did not make the highlight reel, and that irritated him.
He did say that he played well. It wasn't that he played badly, but other guys had some good hits on people that they wanted to highlight.
Yeah, it was almost like the other guys were playing so good that it was overshadowed the other, Sam Mustipher. So he made sure that he played very good against Michigan State, and they said he was all over the highlight video. So I guess it's a good thing they do those highlight videos because it obviously made an impact on Sam Mustipher and he stepped up his game.
And then Brian Kelly was asked about what are some of the traits of Quentin Nelson as a captain. And then McGlinchey was also asked this, but Brian Kelly was asked on Tuesday. McGlinchey was asked today. And Brian Kelly looked like he was thinking about it And then he said that truth is his character trait. And it's something he's gotten much
Being
better.
Honest.
He's gotten much better at delivering that truth, which I thought was very. It's good. It's fine. I'm a fan of truth. I mean, I like when people are honest and say things the way they are. Not.
Are you being truthful about that?
And don't sugarcoat things, but just come right out and say it. But then I did think it was kind of weird how McGlinchey said the exact same thing. So clearly, I don't know how closely tied or how much the football players are prepped before they go through their interviews. But clearly, I do think that Mike McGlinchey knew this question was going to come up, and he knew, obviously he knows Quentin, and he would probably agree with this as well. But it felt like to me that this was something that he was expected, or, hey, this is something you can say.
Well,
this is what Brian Kelly said.
Yeah, you could tailor that. I thought of it as, well, McGlinchey added that he doesn't sugarcoat anything. And it was mainly, you know, what made him a captain. So I'm guessing they talked about it because Nelson is a captain now. And so, you know, they talked about the things that he's done different or has done better. And he's obviously, with the part about being honest, he's getting after the guys and he's telling them exactly what needs to be done. He's communicating. And as he communicates, he's not just saying, hey, you did a good job all the time. He's telling them when they did it wrong as well. And I kind of took it as that hasn't been a strength of his. Like, that's he hasn't done it before. Maybe a little quieter, you know, didn't talk like that to the other players. But now he is in that leadership role, and he is telling you exactly what he thinks or what you should be doing.
That's probably more likely.
But
than a guy that just flies off the handle and just says things without any filter.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. I was saying it more from a different angle, but I think your angle makes a little more sense.
Talking about the filter, they did give McGlinchey, they mentioned about him having a little bit of a filter because he started saying something and...
he started saying, I don't give a bleep.
But then he said,
we don't give a crap.
So they asked him, so you do have a little bit of filter, and he says, yeah, he does. So. But I guess if Harry Heastin is your position coach, after a while you do pick up some of the words and comments that he uses, because he is not the nicest guy out on the coaching field.
His way of communicating is just more raw.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's talk about...
He doesn't hand out participation trophies.
No. Let's talk about tight ends. Or did you have more about the offensive line?
Well, one other thing that Brian Kelly mentioned was Kramer and Hainsey, like the duo there playing together. He says that they're now playing seamlessly, like between the two. Obviously, he said Kramer's your extremely physical guy, and he said Hainsey is a beautiful pass setter.
For a guy his age.
Yeah, he did mention that, for a guy his age. So he did throw that in there.
That's fair to say. Because he has gotten beat several times. Yeah. But,
well, they both have.
But they're both young, and especially Hainsey is a true freshman.
But the thing is, you hardly notice that they're out there anymore. They haven't been getting called for false start.
Or holding.
So they are definitely getting better. And I
do think Hainsey did get called for, I think, one false start. But it's not like...
The last game?
No.
Oh,
just earlier
this year. Yeah, he got called for a couple.
Yeah.
But he had in the last two games, I believe. And then McGlinchey also mentioned that they don't listen to the outside noise about the offensive line. But obviously he knows there's noise. And his comment was that they themselves create their...
They're their self-critic.
Yeah.
And I think Brian Kelly had said that too. I think it was in regards to the offensive line.
And one more thing with McGlinchey, he also mentioned that he doesn't always know which running back is back there, which is kind of interesting, which they don't need to, but that means that they're fine with either one. It's not like they have a certain set of plays for one guy or they do something different for the next guy. But you do hear more of that from offensive linemen. Joe Thomas from the Browns he's started like every game. And, well, the Browns obviously have all these quarterbacks. The other day, just a couple days ago, he mentioned that a quarterback came in to the huddle, and he didn't know who he was, and he actually shook his hand and introduced himself.
I saw it. Was he serious, or was he joking?
Are you serious? As far as I know, I mean, I
couldn't tell if it was a joke or not.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it... I mean, I can totally believe that it was serious. Maybe he was joking, but I can totally believe it. They've gone through enough quarterbacks. I doubt it was Brady Quinn, but maybe it was Kaiser. No, but he would have gone with it in fall camp. But anyways, they don't always know who the guy is behind them. That's what I'm saying.
Randall, I'm curious if you know who the second leading receiver is on the team right now. Clearly, EQ is the leading receiver. He has 11 catches, 160 yards, and one touchdown. But who do you think is the second leading receiver?
I'm going with Chase Claypool.
Well, that was a trick question because it's actually a tight end.
Oh. Alizé?
Alizé Mack. Same number of catches, 11 catches, 116 yards, no touchdown yet. And then even the Durham Smythe is third with yards. He has 4 catches for 88 yards. He has 22 yards per catch. And if you think about it, the two that I remember, the one from last week and then the one against Boston College, that corner route, the one where Wimbush did have a nice pass, they were both long plays. And then Chase Claypool is fourth. He has 7 catches and 80 yards.
Okay.
But that just surprised me when I was just looking at some of the numbers. I was surprised to see Alizé Mack's name right after EQ. Anyway, speaking of tight ends, is there anything more to talk about?
Brian Kelly once again mentioned dad. He likes referring to
Wisher
as the dad in the group. But he said it's hard to take him out of the game. He obviously has very good pass-catching ability, but his blocking has been so incredible that it's hard to take him out of the game. So he's definitely stepped up his game, and Brian Kelly jokingly talked about him looking like the dad of the group, so obviously it's a thing in the...
Did you... I had mentioned when we were doing the recap from Michigan State about the play that Alizé made. It didn't go for many yards, but it was when Nick Wisher was blocking, and then he had the stiff arm and then the spin move to get around, try to get around the corner, but then there was another defender there.
Yeah.
They showed that again on a highlight on Notre Dame's Icon video that they do every week. And just watching that again, like, that was absolutely, it was incredible. It was an incredible stiff arm. He just manhandled the defender, and the spin move was quick. I do think that Alizé is really coming on, and I think we'll continue to see him make plays. And he didn't get that many yards on that play, but we did see him make. He did get yards in that game against Michigan State.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, wide receivers. I was a little surprised in the depth chart that Chase Claypool wasn't at the top of the wide receiver spot. He is still behind Chris Fink. And he was behind Chris Fink last week too, so I don't think it really matters. I was just kind of surprised that, because I did think that I just assumed that he would be in one of the top three.
Yeah. I think that roster is kind of, or the depth chart is kind of like the coach's poll. There's not a lot of attention, or there's not a lot of thought given to it. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Brian Kelly has, I remember previous years, Brian Kelly has made a comment about they yelling at someone to get it updated.
Oh, yeah. Probably the same guy that does
the coaches poll?
No, the website with all the player info is always like a year behind.
Oh, yeah. The little bio.
Yeah, the bio for the player is always a year behind.
I guess we'll see on Saturday if Stefferson, if the suspension is lifted or not.
No.
You're saying it's not lifted.
He won't be playing Saturday.
Well, I disagree. I do think we'll see him on Saturday. And it's just a hunch. I'm going off nothing other than
should make this sound the like rumor, he has some...
The rumor was that it was 4 games, so it's been 4 games.
You should have made this sound like you had some very good intel from a secret. Anyways.
But then in the future, on the off chance that I actually do have some intel, no one will believe me.
True.
As far as I know, Brian Kelly wasn't even asked about Stefferson in the press conference.
I think everybody's moved past that.
Everyone but us or me.
Well, basically, from the media standpoint, they've all shifted their question from Stefferson to Sean Crawford.
Yeah.
Because everybody gets asked about Sean Crawford.
Did get a lot of media time. Okay, I don't have anything more, Randall, about the wide receivers, do you?
No.
All right, the running backs. Is it clear about Tony Jones Jr.? Is he good to go for Saturday?
Not for sure.
And even Josh Adams? I mean, he was sore.
Yeah,
and
Josh
stiff
Adams should be good to go. There's still a question on Tony Jones. McIntosh is listed on the depth chart and hadn't been before. So I don't know if that's because of his the playing time he got last week, which Brian Kelly mentioned that he took the reps that Tony Jones would have gotten, so he got more work last week in preparation for that game. He was asked about the running backs, but he didn't give a lot of details on it. So they've got four guys, so they'll just kind of have to see. My thing, if they're kind of beat up, they're questionable, then just hold them out. This is your chance to give them some rest and no reason to push it.
I agree. All right, Brandon Wimbush. Brian Kelly didn't have to answer a whole lot of questions about Brandon Wimbush because he had a really, really good performance against Michigan State. But the one topic related to him was Brian Kelly was asked about the hit on Wimbush. Should that have been a targeting call? And Brian Kelly said they did take it to the ACC officials, and it would have been Big Ten officials would have been the reviewing.
Oh.
They would have been the ones in the booth watching for those calls if they're missed on the field. And Brian Kelly said he's really frustrated because he was also saying on the way back when they were watching another game, there was a guy just making a tackle, and I'm pretty sure it was probably the play where the tackler's hand hit the helmet.
I'm not sure. Could be.
He didn't say it was that game, but
there was actually a couple guys ejected this line.
There's several, okay.
Even one of the Miami of Ohio players. I'll get more into that when we do the...
But either way, he's more frustrated than the fans are.
He's been frustrated for a long time. Like, this has been a topic that he mentioned last year. He says they had to get it figured out this offseason. Well, obviously they didn't. But he even mentioned that the hit on Torrey Hunter, it was kept secret for a while, but those officials did... There were repercussions for those officials that didn't call that in the Texas game last year.
And those would have been Big 12 officials.
Yeah. So, you know, there is actually some consequence. I don't know what it actually is. They probably, I don't know, suspended for a game or something. I don't know how they'd handle that. But there were some repercussions for those officials that didn't call
that. Well, at the very least, they should get demoted. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some officials that get paid more for bigger games or for...
They should get fined.
Either fined or fired.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do your job, then you're fired.
Well, Brian Kelly kept saying he's extremely frustrated, and he basically said that we started saying these young guys, there's a lot of guys that don't have this opportunity to play football, and then, you know, it can be taken away from them just by these calls.
It's frustrating on both sides of it. It's frustrating when it's not called, and it should be. But then it's equally as frustrating when you hit your hand hits the helmet of the quarterback, and then it's called targeting is called.
Well, and even his comment is like the guy that he was talking about that got ejected, like he was actually making a play and he didn't think it was targeting, but he was just making a tackle and got ejected. And his comment was that here, you know, a Michigan State player wasn't even making a tackle and he can keep playing. So he would even say, like, if they're making a tackle, you know, look at it. At some point, it's football.
I know this has been said before,
but
let's eliminate conference officiating and just have one
college football officials.
Yes,
I completely agree.
And then if they screw up, they have to go. They get demoted to the FCS. And then as they get better, more experience, they get in the NFL, they get grades, and the better you do as an official, you get to you know, do playoff games.
Yeah.
If you do a bad job, you don't get to do playoff games.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I will vote for you as commissioner.
Oh, I would be a great commissioner, as everyone in my fantasy football league can attest to.
Well,
actually, there's some sore subjects there, so we'll move on. No, but there wasn't a whole lot about Brandon Wimbush. I didn't really have anything more.
He kind of answered a lot of questions himself by the game he played last week.
Yeah. Okay, then on defense. Defensive line. Brian Kelly was asked to give a grade of the defensive line. And what Brian Kelly gave them an A-, and he said they lost focus, you know, a few times here and there. But overall, he's been very, very impressed with them. What would you grade the offensive line, Randall? And grade them not on a curve, like not what they were last year, but just as a clean slate. Is this a good defensive line kind of grade? Not compared to what they had been.
Well, personally, I hate all the grading, the A-, B-, because what are you comparing? Like, if you're going to do that, you have to lay out, you have to say what you're grading them on or whatever. Like, I see, you gave the running back a C.
A-plus is championship level defensive line. A defensive line that can get you, they can help your team get to the college football playoff and win a championship. And then maybe like an A- is right at the brink of, you know, maybe having double or having 10 plus wins. And then maybe like a B- is 7 to 8 wins. I don't know.
Okay, so they're between A- and B- then. They're definitely a lot better than what I thought they would have been, but I don't think they're the reason that we would get a 10-win season.
Yeah, but they are helping. Like,
they're
contributing
to
getting this to a 10-win
yes.
season. So I think, too, I would give them definitely a B+.
Yeah.
I mean, they could play better, but they're playing very, very good.
Well, and I guess you could throw in the phrase Brian Kelly liked, is for their age. They got some young guys playing in there, too.
You got a Quora.
And they're doing insanely good for their age, they're still...
Dalen Hayes is a sophomore.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, Tagovailoa and...
Yeah, some true freshmen, Kurt Heinrichs.
Those guys are playing incredible, but if you would compare them to a senior, then, you know, or a third-year starter, then no, they're not, but... Yeah, they're doing a very good job, and I'm very impressed with them.
Kurt Heinisch, I guess he did play a few snaps last week, but do you know he's still listed on the depth chart behind?
Did he actually have snaps last week?
That's what.
Okay, well,
Brian Driscoll said that he did.
That might be. I didn't really notice him out there. I wasn't sure if he did or not. But it wasn't as much as he had been getting.
No.
So I don't know what the deal with that is. That's just...
But yeah, he's still listed as the backup to Jerry Tillery.
Well, and Micah Treadway is back. I mean, they're getting a little more of a rotation. They have a little more depth, so he might not have to get out there as much. But there's no... I haven't heard on why he didn't get as many snaps.
Maybe he probably hit that freshman wall.
Maybe.
Anything more about the defensive line?
No, not really.
Okay, linebackers. I did notice that Brian Kelly talked about, he didn't say they were going to punish the opponents like Drew Tranquil had said, but he did say something close to that. Do you remember, Randall, what that was?
No, I don't remember exactly what he said. Drew Tranquil mentioned it again. He's pretty determined to punish each and every opponent.
That's one thing that does help me be optimistic about playing a team like Miami, because it is going to be easy to overlook them. But if your mindset is, regardless how great or how average they appear to be, if our goal is to punish them,
yeah,
then I do think that helps you focus and bring your best game. yeah, I forget the exact wording that Brian Kelly didn't say punish, but he, yeah, I shouldn't have brought it up. I forget what it was.
One thing that was interesting with the Drew Tranquil interview, they'd also asked McClinchy, you know, when was the last time you remember playing such a complete game on both sides of the ball? And McClinchy couldn't remember. And then Drew Tranquil said he wants to say the Florida State game his freshman year, but they lost that. Which I guess he does have a point. They played great football. They just didn't, the last play, these conference refs took them out of the game. So that maybe that is the last time they played a complete game on both sides of the ball. But he does remember that. So.
Well, that might have been the last game, but this whole season has been such a turnaround just as far as just competent play on both sides.
Oh, I know.
Okay, defensive backs, cornerbacks. Crawford was getting a lot of questions were about Sean Crawford. And Brian Kelly has said that one gauge they have is once their defensive backs are able to run 20 miles per hour. And he was at about 18 and a half up until, I think he said week two.
After week one is when he obviously did it in week one, and that's when they.
I know, but I thought it was after week one is when he finally hit that 20 miles per hour mark. But either way, it was after the first game. He did hit that, and then physically, and he was playing in the opener as well. But after when they saw that he hit 20 miles per hour, that's when he felt like physically that he was back.
Yeah, and he also made comments about recruiting him. He wanted to take the credit for recruiting him, which maybe he did, but I guess. Would have been Diaco. Some of the coaches hadn't wanted to recruit him because of his size. But Brian Kelly saw some things that he wanted. And he mentioned his experience at Grand Valley State. He said there they had those type of players because the big schools aren't recruiting them because of their size. And so he was used to seeing players like this. And he credited, you know, his time at Grand Valley State for noticing these things about Sean Crawford, and he said he makes up for, you know, his 2-3 inch lack of height, and obviously he's one of the best cornerbacks out there.
Well, and one thing that made me feel good, or I've been a little bit worried in the past when Brian Kelly said, "Oh, we need to make sure that we recruit the right kind of kid, and not worry about, you know, the stars as much, but just recruit the right kind of kid." Well, this was clearly the right kind of kid.
Yeah.
And he's super talented and incredible football player. So it made me a little more easy as far as some of the comments in the past about recruiting a different kind of player, the right kind of player.
Yeah. And Brian Kelly also mentioned that he likes, you can have other conversations outside football with him. And just hearing that was good because from what it sounds like in the past, you know, Brian Kelly hasn't really been that type of guy. Like, he was almost off limits to the players sometimes. But just that he's able to do that with the players. Drew Tranquil even said that his personality is kind of like his. So it seems like everybody's asking about Crawford and everybody wants to take some credit too. So, but he's doing big things. So everybody wants to be like, and Drew Tranquil even mentioned that he was in fall camp. Crawford was showing him things, was teaching him things in coverage, which Drew Tranquil could use it.
One thing but I wasn't mentioned, sure, was that this fall camp or was it fall camp? Okay.
He mentioned like his footwork and how to read wide receivers, try to figure out what they're doing, just different things like that, helped him with his coverage. And I think, from what it sounds, I think Sean Crawford's going to be a captain before he leaves Notre Dame.
I think so too. He seems very likable. There's never been a question about his commitment to football, to the team. And then go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to mention with the cornerbacks overall that Brian Kelly was asked about Todd Light, how he's coaching with just having the cornerbacks and not having the safeties this year. And he said he's been doing a really good job. He's been able to focus on that. And I've been kind of critical of Todd Light was last year with him, with how the safeties were playing. and just seemed confused and stuff. I wasn't as high as on him as a lot of people were, but he's doing a good job. It seems the to have helped that he is focusing on the cornerbacks.
Yeah, the cornerbacks are playing extremely well. There's still, like, recruiting wise, there's still some holes there. What does the current class, or what does that even look like with cornerbacks?
Well, they're still trying to get Colin Gervin, but he had decommitted. You caught me off guard. Keep talking. I'll check. All right,
well, while you're looking that up, I did find that phrase that Brian Kelly used. He talked about a mindset to dominate the opponent is what he said. And when he said that, it just made me think of along the same lines as what Drew Tranquil was saying as far as punishing the opponents.
Yeah, right now they don't have any. Colin Gervin had been committed, but he decommitted. And supposedly Notre Dame is back in play. He visited for the Georgia game. And then he was actually at the Michigan State game this last weekend, but he was like Michigan State was hosting him. So he's had a chance to see Notre Dame a couple times. So I still won't believe that he could come to Notre Dame until I actually see it. I think it's very doubtful when a guy decommits that he'll come back.
Well,
having
a good overall, a good season, and a defense that's playing much better, including getting interceptions, pick sixes, that can only help with recruiting. So I feel better about our chances of landing some cornerbacks than I did, you know, last year.
Yeah.
And then at the safeties.
Well, the one guy that was mentioned was Jordan Ganmark Heath, and his tackles have actually all come on special teams. And he was asked if he's going to play at safety, and Brian Kelly said mentioned that he is training to be a safety. I mean, they have to prepare him to come in because, you know, he even kind of mentioned the targeting calls and something, or, you know, two safeties get taken out of the game, you're suddenly going to need some of these guys. So he has been cross-training. I mean, he has been training as a safety, but he said he's tied at the hips with
Elko.
Was it with Elko? Yeah, with the safety position. So he knows what's going on.
All right. Are you ready to talk some Miami of Ohio football?
One more thing with Notre Dame. Tristan Hodge and Parker Boudreau had their appeals denied to be eligible to play this year. Tristan Hodge is at BYU and Parker Boudreau is at Central Florida. But both of them had their appeals denied, so I guess Aloe Gilman isn't the only guy that had it denied. So, but yeah, I'm ready to talk some Miami football.
All right. Well, just looking back on this team, in particular to last year, let me just pull up their record here again.
Miami?
Yeah.
Well, they started out 0-6, and then they won the next six games.
They won the next six, and then they lost, but just barely, to Mississippi State, 16-17 in the St. Petersburg Bowl.
Yeah, so they made improve. It kind of changed when they brought in their quarterback, Gus Ragland, who's the quarterback now. He had been injured, and he came back and helped lead them to those six straight wins, and they almost won their bowl game. They hadn't been at a bowl game in years.
And even in a lot of their losses from the first half of last year, a lot of those were one possession losses. So that's something else they really have in common with Notre Dame. That was kind of a little bit of a joke, but and this year as well, you know, they lost to Cincinnati, but they were up against Cincinnati. But they lost 21-17. And then they opened up the season with a loss to Marshall, 31-26. So they're keeping these games very close. And I should have started off with asking you for your spread prediction, Randall.
What I think it's at?
Yeah. And I'll...
I'd heard it the other day. It's around 24.
I was dead on. I thought 21, and it's 21.
Okay.
It might have moved a little bit. Maybe it started out at 24.
Well, obviously, Chuck Martin, Notre Dame's former offensive coordinator, is at Miami of Ohio. And I did watch some of his interview or his press conference this week. And when he was asked about their chances going to Notre Dame, he's obviously not expecting to win.
Yeah.
His comment was, it's like going out to recess and one team gets to pick the first 85 players and then you have the rest of them. Because he said, I mean, and it's true because he said he actually helped recruit some of the guys that are at Notre Dame. And the guys that are at Notre Dame don't know who Miami of Ohio is. And there might just be a couple guys from Miami of Ohio that even heard from Notre Dame about on the recruiting trail. It's a completely different type of – it's just a different school. Yeah. I mean, it's not a Power 5 school. And so I thought that was a good comment. It's basically Notre Dame got the first 85 picks at recess. But, you know, upsets can happen. I mean, look, they almost beat Mississippi State last year, and I'm sure they weren't favored in that. And yeah. Mississippi State is an SEC team.
That's the thing. I do think that this game is – I don't think Notre Dame covers the spread. And I've been right on my spread predictions. I'm pretty sure I've been right every week. Actually, yeah, I know I've been right every week.
I haven't been keeping track.
So –
So you're saying they don't cover the spread?
I don't think Notre Dame covers the spread. I think wow. I still think they win comfortably, but I don't think Notre Dame covers the spread. There's a couple. Their quarterback is a good quarterback. His touchdown to interception ratio is good. It's 8-2, and when you compare that with Brandon Wimbush, he's at 3-2, and they have more yards per attempt, 7.6 to about 5.9. for Brandon Wimbush. And so they are a little more explosive in the passing game, but then their rushing game is pretty bad. Their averaging as a team is 3.1 yards per attempt, and Notre Dame's is at 6.8.
Well, Notre Dame has very good numbers.
Yeah.
So, and Miami likes to rush the ball, and their strength, what they try to do is keep the other offense off the field. Right now, they're averaging 34.5 minutes on offense. And so that's their goal against Notre Dame, is to keep Notre Dame's offense off the field and just move the ball, and they run the ball and short passes. But they did it last week against Central Michigan, where they did throw some deep passes, which opened up their running game. But that's not... They can do that. Ragland is a good passer. But they're more in the short plays and just trying to get that first down.
Which I think does play... That plays in Notre Dame's favor defensively, because it gives more opportunity for Notre Dame to come up with
a turnover. Yeah.
However, I often think... I know last or maybe 2 weeks ago I said, two teams really... get up for Notre Dame. Well, this is one that would. This is not a Power 5 team. This is a team that these guys will be ready to play. And I do expect Notre Dame has been on the favorable side as far as penalties. I do think that Miami coming in here is probably going to be playing a pretty clean game. Just from like a focus, I think these guys are going to be locked in and ready to go.
I agree with you, but I just don't think they have a chance to compete with Notre Dame.
I don't either. I don't think it's going to be close. I just don't think Notre Dame covers the spread.
Yeah, but no, they will be ready to play this game, because Chuck Martin said he wants to. I think they're coming up a little bit earlier than normal, so they can just see Notre Dame, take it all in, and then basically hunker down on Friday and get their game plan ready. And he even invited the media guy. He told him, you guys get up there early and see Notre Dame. He says it's going to be very hard for him to be coaching against his good friend, being on the other side. And this is the first time he's ever had to root against Notre Dame. He didn't say root against them, but yeah.
Brian Kelly was asked, you know, is there any assistant that isn't a former player that loves Notre Dame more than Chuck Martin? And he kind of thought a little bit and said no, and that question was set up to say no, but clearly a lot of people can see or realize or have seen the love that Chuck Martin did have for, or does have for Notre Dame.
Yeah, and I think Chuck Martin is glad that they supposedly don't have a shot. You know what I mean? Like, this makes it a little bit easier for him. They're coming in as a huge underdog. I don't know what he would say if they were if he was, you know, the coach of, who knows,
Miami.
Ohio State, coming in
Miami
playing Notre
of,
Dame.
Of Florida.
Yeah, but he obviously loves Notre Dame, and he'll have this team ready to play. He knows what Notre Dame is about, the excitement, everything there. I mean, he can get his guys ready to go. But then the running backs, there's two guys that they use. Kenny Young and Alonzo Smith are the two guys. I mean, last week the only other player that had rushing yards was the quarterback. Kenny Young had a 31-yard run, finished with 91 yards. So they can run the ball. They have two guys. But then they also have some good wide receivers. James Gardner is 6'4", big guy. I mean, they're his size, you know, can come into play. And Murphy is a slot wide receiver. And then he also mentioned Sam Martin is their third receiver. But then they got backups that can... Which Sam Martin was the leading receiver last week. But the one thing that sticks out about this Miami team, especially on defense, is that their backup players are ready to step in. Like, it seems like he took that next man in philosophy to Miami. I mean, these guys are ready to go. And so when somebody does go down, their backup has stepped up and played phenomenal. But they do have playmakers on the offensive side. Their tight end, Ryan Smith, he's a very talented tight end.
They use him a lot. He has the second most catches on the team, 10 catches, 144 yards, a pair of touchdowns.
So somebody wanted to say he's one of the best tight ends in the country. But they do have talent on the offensive side of the ball. And the offensive line is good. But they'll probably get overpowered by... When they can play their game, they can do what they want to. They're good, but they'll very likely be overpowered by Notre Dame's size and strength on the defensive side of the ball. So it will be tough for them. I think it'll be tough for them to move the ball in this game.
All right. Are you ready to give your predictions?
I'll give you a little bit on the defensive side.
Okay.
Because there's some interesting... Tony Reed... Their starting safety was ejected last week for a targeting call. So he has to sit out the first half of this game. But here's the downside. His backup, Matt Merrimy, came in the second half last week and got an interception. So there's one example of a guy stepping up. And then on the linebacker group, their middle linebacker, Junior McCollum, was injured. And I'm not sure if he'll be playing this week. But his backup, Sam Connolly, stepped in, led the team in tackles, and had an interception as well.
Hold it. So they really are using this next man in.
And he was actually the MAC East Defensive Player of the Week.
Oh, wow.
And so he stepped in for an injured guy. And then on the defensive line, they rotate a lot of guys. They mentioned that they play at least six defensive ends.
Six defensive ends?
Yes. So they try to keep them fresh.
Have they figured out a way to get three ends on the field at the same time?
I'm not sure. But, you know, in their defensive line. So they play a lot of guys. They rotate a lot of players on the defensive line, kind of like Notre Dame. Notre Dame isn't quite that extreme. But that's what they're going to have to do that against Notre Dame to keep these guys fresh and to not wear out against Notre Dame's offensive line. They have a huge task at hand to try to stop this offensive line. So yeah, you can see that their next guys in are doing very well. And they've had some injuries. Chuck Martin said, you know, that their traveling roster's at 70, and he said it gets easier each week to keep it at 70 because the guys just can't travel. So they have a little bit, maybe they need a strength and conditioning overhaul like Notre Dame did. But, anyways, there you have it. That's the kind of my take on the team. I just think, you want me to give my prediction now, or are you going to give yours first?
Go ahead.
I think this is a good team. The Miami team is good in their conference. They're sound on offense. They have a good defense. You know, they don't give up a lot of big plays. But that works against a team like Central Michigan. They're going up against Notre Dame. They ended up with the 85 players left over from recess. And it's just going to, right at the beginning, they'll do okay. But it'll kind of be, I think it'll be like the Boston College game. A lot sooner, it'll be long before the fourth quarter. But maybe right at first, you know, get settled in, and then Notre Dame's just going to take over and exert their will on this team. So I'm going to go Notre Dame to cover the spread 48-10.
Oh!
Maybe I should predict it close, because last week I predicted it close, and it wasn't.
Well, often we have had pretty close.
And the week before, Boston College, which it wasn't as close at the end, but it seemed like it for a while. But I'm going with 48-10, Notre Dame.
Pretty often our score predictions are reasonably close, but not this time.
I'd have to go back. I haven't actually checked to see how close I was.
Well, I know a couple times.
I always forget what I what I predicted.
Notre Dame has forced a turnover in each of the first four games, and they've in the first 2 weeks, the turnover margin was tied. In week three against Boston College, they were plus one, and then last week they were plus three in the turnover margin. I do think this is the first week that Notre Dame doesn't force a turnover.
What?
And that,
man, you love these Red Hawks.
And that Notre Dame loses the turnover margin probably by about one. Notre Dame probably, you know, throws a pick or something.
Man, but you going to see this special lady this last weekend must have really changed some things.
Their passing game, I think, is good, but they definitely struggle with the running game. I don't think that they're going to be able to even close score enough points to beat Notre Dame, but I do think that they're going to be playing very sound and coming in. I don't expect a lot of mistakes because I just expect this team to be coached very, very well. So I don't think Notre Dame covers the spread. And I do think that it probably is close through the first couple series, and with Miami chewing up the clock more, Notre Dame doesn't get as many possessions. But I still think at the end of the day, Notre Dame will win 33-18. But that's about 5-6 points from this below the spread.
Man, you have a lot more. You're a lot higher on the Redhawks than what I am.
I just look at who... I know they don't have a great schedule, but usually they're able to keep the games close, even the ones they lost last year. And definitely this year, they've had close games. So I think Chuck Martin's a good coach. I think he'll be able to...
Oh, I agree. I'm not doubting that. I think it's just a matter of talent here. Notre Dame doesn't often play these MAC schools. And so when they do, it's going to show. I mean, there's a reason.
Boston College may as well be a MAC school.
They held the number two team in the country to 7 points after three quarters.
A game isn't three quarters.
I know.
All right. It'll be fun to see how this goes.
Here's the other. Notre Dame plays four quarters. Their guys seem just as fresh in the fourth quarter as they do in the first. So, and that here is going to be a big key in this game. You know, they might be playing. They're going to be playing a lot of backups in the fourth quarter.
So. I do hope that we don't. I know this is kind of. I hope that Notre Dame is able, to rest Josh Adams. Get if Tony Jones is healthy, get him in there. Get Deion McIntosh. Get guys the second unit on defense. Get them in there as well. All right, that's all I've got, Randall. Anything more from you?
I don't think so.
Okay, be sure to tweet out your score prediction before kickoff on Saturday, and the winner will receive 1 pound of free coffee from Main Street Roasters. And you don't even need to win. You can just go buy coffee, too, if you want to. It's the best coffee in Indiana. MainStreetRoasters.com, roasted fresh. And if you're in the Napanee area, driving through town, some days when you can definitely smell it on the days that they're roasting. So check it out, MainStreetRoasters.com. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.